The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 7th, 2009, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
Okay, so now we're open for our last question and answer session of the benediction room retreat. Anyone has a question?
Maharaj, after this two beautiful days of being in retreat and learning so much and experiencing so many new things, when we do go back to, you know, our mundane sort of lifestyle, how do we cope? And are we going to feel like someone new, like me, too much information overload?
No, this is not a question of information overload. It's a matter of love. You have to connect with Krishna and Krishna's devotees in love. See, it's not a matter of remembering information, although the information is part of it. That Krishna is God, you're His eternal servant. You have to keep that feeling of love for Krishna and Krishna's devotees in your heart. And then you'll always remain in that spiritual atmosphere. The love that really comes.
Yeah. Just a general question. Because you travel a lot, what do you think the people of other religions say about the Hare Krishna movement? Like, what is the feedback you get from other religious organizations?
Well, that means members of other religions. Religion itself is an institution or a social thing. It's not the individuals. It really varies with the individual. Generally, sectarian religionists approach God to fulfill their material desires. They take God as an agent for facilitating their sense gratification. So, such persons, they generally have a very narrow conception of God. That only a member of our religion is saved. I was raised as a Christian. And even within Christianity, there's Protestants, there's Catholics, there's so many varieties of Protestants. I remember being, the way I was trained as a young little boy, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years, was I thought the Catholics were going to hell. So, this is the way that people are being trained. They're being trained to think that their way is the only way, but they don't really have the way. That's the problem. They don't understand the way, the actual way to connect with the Supreme Person is through pure devotion. They create some other so-called way of approaching God, and they say that theirs is the only way, but they don't even have the way themselves. So those persons who are actually intelligent, they don't buy this kind of sectarian. When they hear Krishna consciousness philosophy, they say, yes, that's right. A person who's honest, is really honest and analyzes things very carefully, they will all take Krishna consciousness. They will not accept these dogmatic, sectarian, my way is the only way concoctions invented by men that were not given by God.
Isn't that the similar thing happens in all kind of denominations and religions, even in Krishna consciousness? That when the spiritual master leaves the body, then they just split, and then they say, oh, they are doing wrong, and they are doing wrong, so they will go to hell, and this and that.
The same thing can happen to us, and we have to be careful. We cannot take Vaishnavism sentimentally also. We have to understand the science of God. Sometimes I see, you know, I presented in my e-course the non-sectarian understanding of pure bhakti. And sometimes Hindus become very disturbed. What do you mean somebody could chant Allah's name and become perfect? And they get very angry at me. Because I'm not telling the sectarian Hindu line. But I'm not obliged to any sectarian position. I'm obliged to, as a disciple of Prabhupada, to connect people with the actual reality. It goes beyond all designations of Hindu, Christian, Jew, Muslim, etc. There's not a Hindu religion. In the sense of a sectarian thing. Because sometimes Prabhupada does call it Hindu, because it depends on how you use the word. One time he said, they're complaining that Swami Bhaktivedanta is spoiling Hinduism, but actually I'm increasing the number of Hindus. Prabhupada said that. He also said, we're not Hindus. So it's according to the context. Hindu is a word in the coined by the Muslims. It's not there in the Vedic scriptures. They coined that word to describe the people living on the other side of the Indus River, which they, the Sindhu River. They pronounced Hindu. So it's a geographic term, just like Aussie, you see. Someone who resides in Australia, they're called Aussie. Now what if you said Aussie, or you follow the Aussie religion? Hindu is actually a word like that. It gives a geographic area east of the River Sindhu. Those who reside east of the River Sindhu are Hindus. So the real thing is we have to go beyond all these designations. I'm a Hindu, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim. And come to the real platform, Aham Brahmasmi. I'm Spirit Soul, Jiva Sarupa Hai, Krishna, and the Chidas, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Any other questions? Everyone's totally satisfied now, ready to hit the ground running on Monday morning. Oh God.
One more question.
All right.
It's a pretty bold question there. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to ask or not, but I'll still ask. Are gaze accepted in Krishna consciousness?
Are gaze accepted in Krishna consciousness? Actually, gay means that nowadays, of course, gay formerly had another meaning. It meant someone is happy. You see. That was the former meaning of gay. They took the word gay, which means happy, and they applied it to themselves. And they made it, they've used it and made this propaganda. You know. Formerly, they were known as queers or homosexuals. They were commonly called queers when I was a young boy. In America, queers. So they said, we don't want to be called queers, we're going to be called gays, because we're very gay. So, the reality is that any sort of sexual attraction, whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, all forms of sexual attraction bind us to this cycle of present death. So in the Vedic culture, everyone is recommended to practice brahmachari, celibacy. Even a married couple, their goal is ultimately to become celibate. Okay, we have a desire for sex, let's have some kids and get it out of our system and then become celibate. So the Vedic culture is for promoting celibacy. So whether it's heterosex or homosex, sex is meant to be given up. Now, most of us in this material world, we're sexually inclined. We feel lusty, we feel sex desire, we want a desire to satisfy ourselves sexually. That's very common in practically everything. So, whether one has that desire heterosexually, homosexually, or bisexually, which means going both ways, that desire is meant to be given up. one of the great acharyas, his name is Jamunacharya, he said, Yadavadi Mamacheta Krishna Padara Vinde Navanavarasa Damayun Yataranti Masit Tadavadi Bhattanadi Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Muku Bhavati Mukum Shushtu Nishtivanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Hare Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that relationship. Whenever I think of sex pleasure, my lips curl with this taste, and I spit. Great Vaishnavacharya, he's praying like that. So, by one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, if they feel some desire to have sex with a woman, spit it at them. If they feel desire to have sex with a man, spit it at them. It's all spittable. The desire for sex with a woman, for a man to have sex with a woman, that can be utilized in Krishna's service for producing children. So that type of sex can be used for Krishna. But homosex has no position for being used for Krishna. We welcome everyone to join our movement because we want to train you how to become free from sexual desire. We don't care if you're heterosexual or homosexual. We want to train you how to become in the mood of brahmacharya. So gays are most welcome in our movement. But gay sex is not. Gay sex is not welcome. They have to be trained to give it up. They're welcome to come to our... Even if they're having gay sex and they just want to come to the Sunday feast and get blissed out with prasadam and shit, they're welcome. But if somebody wants to be initiated, it's not the two, you know, we can have a gay marriage. And, well, they can try to have kids and see if it happens by Krishna's grace. No. Not like that. No. So gay sex is not welcome in the Krishna consciousness movement. Gays are most welcome. We want to deliver everyone. They're part and parcel of Krishna just as much as the heteros are. We want everyone to come. Bisexuals, monosexuals, people who masturbate, who are monosexuals. Everyone's welcome. It's all disgusting, all the sexuality. But the heterosex can be utilized in a spiritual way for producing saintly children. That is Krishna conscious. But all their forms of like masturbation, you know, homosex, sex with animals, what some people do. It's all has to be given up. It's gross and disgusting. Some people keep a dog, you know, to have sex with a boy. Or they have sex with horses and cows. It's disgusting what goes on. It's just horrible, you know. People are so degraded, you know. So degraded they become. After getting to the human form, what's the result of somebody who wants to have sex with an animal? Obviously become that animal their next life, you know. They have sex with dogs or cows or horses, you know. They become that animal. They can have full facility to have sex with an animal their next life. So yes, they're most welcome, but their homosex is not allowable in Krishna consciousness. We'll teach them how to get a higher taste, something more pleasurable than their gay sex. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna has more nectar than, more pleasure than thousands of sexual intercourses. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna. So therefore we're very happy, you see, just to chant Hare Krishna. We need sex, you see. Sex is lokya. Bhagavatam says, Yan maitanadi grihe medhi sukham itu cham. That happiness which is number one for the materialistic people, that's sex. For the transcendentalists, it is itu cham. Tenth class. If I offered you in one hand a bowl of strawberry ice cream, organic strawberry ice cream, from protected cows from a devotee farm. Another nice silver bowl with a silver spoon. fresh stool. See, would you be attracted to the stool? Even if it's in a silver bowl with a nice silver spoon with engraving on it? No way. So this sex pleasure, it may appear to be very nice. Oh, she's so good looking, or he's so good looking. It may appear to be, oh, very, very nice. But it's just stool. Simply stool. And this Krishna consciousness, it's like that bowl of earth strawberry ice cream. Organic strawberry ice cream. With mint. Or mango ice cream. Now we're getting really... Sometimes we make mango ice cream for the Radhagamana. Now they're packed away. So anyway, any other questions? Yeah?
Maharaj, like, if I have a bad quality in me, but I don't recognize it, but after coming to Krishna consciousness, I understand it's a bad quality to have, but I'm not able to give up the habit. And I chant, but still I feel like it's because I have this bad quality, I feel guilty. So suddenly, let's say if I die, like I always feel guilty that I haven't left the bad quality and I was not pure in Krishna consciousness as well. What would my situation be like? Hell, like even living, I know that it's wrong and I know that you...
But if you die not having given it up?
Like not die, but if I'm chanting, but I know it's a bad habit I have, but I'm not able to give up,
no, you have to go deeper into the name, that's all. You have to increase the intensity of your absorption in the name. Just like an airline pilot, if he's flying through a storm, he elevates the airplane above the storm. You have to just... don't worry about killing that bad habit. Just elevate your consciousness beyond it, so it doesn't affect you anymore. It's got to go to a higher level. It's more difficult to control a mind than to conquer. It's more difficult to control a raging wind than it is to conquer over the mind. So don't think that you can just kill that tendency within your heart. That's not possible. It can be developed over many thousands of lifetimes. But if you just elevate yourself beyond your mind, you see, then you have no problem. See, there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, very wonderful verse. Because a lot of us have this problem, you know, we have all these bad tendencies. In our mind, some lust comes, some anger, some greed, some madness, illusion, envy comes in. So what do you do when that happens? Aporyamanam machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvak. Let's see. Remember the rest of the verse. Let's see. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudra bapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sante shashanta magnopi nakama kami. Yes. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always remains still can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So that those bad thoughts from you may injure. You see, just be like the ocean. Even if 1,000 bad thoughts come through my mind while I'm chanting my japa, don't get carried away by it. Okay, there it is. Just like those rivers entering the ocean. Millions and billions of gallons of water entering the ocean every day. But does it keep going higher and higher? No. What does it do? It evaporates that... As much water is coming in, it evaporates that much water out. So instead of getting bewildered when those thoughts come, just let them evaporate. Okay, here they come. Okay, here you are, lusty thought. Now, do your evaporation thing. I'm going to keep chanting. Okay, angry thought. Now you can just evaporate. I'm going to keep chanting. Okay, you know, greedy thought or illusion thought or mad thought or envious thought. Just evaporate. I'm going to keep chanting. You can evaporate. See, the sun causes the water. So the sun is like the holy name. The sun causes the water to evaporate. So you just have to keep chanting, and then all those negative thoughts will evaporate, and you won't be carried away by them. Keep the chanting going. And when you're not chanting, keep the mood of chanting going, which is the service mood. If you always stay in a service mood, you'll conquer all of this stuff. Serve your spiritual master, serve Krishna, serve the Vaishnavas, and serve humanity in general by giving them Krishna consciousness. If you're always in a service mood and not in an enjoying mood, see, that's what always defeats us again and again. As soon as we get an enjoying mood, what happens? We can enjoy a little bit, you see, but then, wham, we get hit with the suffering. So instead of trying to be the enjoyer, just try to always be the server. And then you'll be able to easily transcend all this negativity that comes as a past of our past, as a result of our previous sinful activities. Does that answer your question? All right, someone else here.
Maharaj, how to answer a person who is not believing the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Is the right book that they have to follow, because they're saying each month a new edition of Bhagavad Gita is written. Even a drunkard writes a Bhagavad Gita, and anybody writes a Bhagavad Gita and publishes it. So, and also if we say that we have a parampara system, that's what brings it, makes it as it is. They say even we have some parampara, and that's also coming from Krishna. So how do they prove that this is the original version?
So Mataji is saying that there's so many versions of Bhagavad Gita, so many editions, and we normally say that our Bhagavad Gita is different. It comes from a parampara, a sampradaya, but they also say that our Bhagavad Gita also comes from...
No, you didn't look at the Sanskrit. Simple. What is stated in the Sanskrit language? If someone is changing the actual words of Krishna, then that's bogus. And if someone is presenting the exactly what Krishna is saying in the Sanskrit and English, then it's genuine. It's simple thing. It's not that we accept Bhagavad Gita is because it's the book of our religion, of our movement. No. We simply want to know, you know, we want to see what Krishna actually said. That's all we want to see. I just took one semester of Sanskrit at the university. And that was enough that I could easily see, because Bhagavad Gita is actually elementary Sanskrit. Bhagavatam is a little more complex. But Bhagavad Gita is very elementary Sanskrit. You can take just even a little bit of Sanskrit study and you can see how perfect Prabhupada's translation is. Perfect. So, you know, Krishna says, surrender to me. In the Sanskrit, sarva-dharman padipja-ja, you see. Mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapi vo mokshya shami mahashicha. He's saying you should surrender to me. Now the other commentators come along and say, don't surrender to Krishna. Now they're not taking directly, they're adding their own interpretation. You have to take Bhagavad Gita directly as it is spoken by Krishna. It's not that you say, well, Krishna said this, but he actually meant this. How do you know what he meant? Why don't you just take directly what he says instead of saying, well, he said this, but he really didn't mean it. If I tell you, bring me a glass of water, do you think that Guru Maharaj wants some milk? Or he wants some fruit juice? You see? I'm saying, I'm not really asking, I'm not going to drink water now, but before I get in the car. But anyway, the... If the spiritual master asks for water, that means he wants water. So if Krishna says, you know, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Man manava vad bhakto majadjimam namaskaru mam mavashashiyu prayavam nadmanang matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me. Certainly you'll come to me. I mean, isn't it obvious he's talking about himself? How many times did he say me? He said, well, does Krishna really say that? It's elementary Sanskrit. Man, mana, bhava, mad, bhakto, majaji, mam. So the word me is coming again and again. Man, mana, bhava, mad, bhakto, majaji, mam, namaskaru. The word me is coming again and again and again and again in the Sanskrit. So when they say it's not really me, it's really the unborn, unmanifest, impersonal Brahman that's being spoken about there. Where do they get that? It's not anywhere in the text. In fact, in 1427, Gita Krishna says, Brahmano pratishtaham. I am the source of the impersonal Brahman. How they can say that when Krishna says me, it refers to the impersonal Brahman, when he says clearly that me is actually the source from which the impersonal Brahman has come. Krishna is making a clear distinction between himself and impersonal Brahman. So all these claims that, you know, that's just your Gita, we have our Gita. No, there's only one Bhagavad Gita. And that's the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna. And that's there in the Sanskrit language. So anybody with even elementary knowledge of Sanskrit can see that Prabhupada's Gita is the only one which is giving the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is. The other editions are messing around with it. I was telling this to a religious scholar at the Rice University in Houston, Texas many years ago. He didn't believe it. He thought, no, all the Gitas are the same. I said, Hen, I randomly pointed to one Gita on his shelf. He said, give me that Bhagavad Gita. And I took it, I immediately turned to chapter 9, text number, what is it? 37? Yeah. And in this verse, it's the Manmanama Bhavad Bhaktogar. So how did the translator translate it, the commentator, the speculator translate it? Here's how he translated it. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me. It sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will become me. Wow. Talk about a different twist, you know. If we invited you to come to the benediction moon retreats, everyone come to the benediction moon retreat and you can become Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Would you come? No. You want to maintain your individuality. You don't want to become me. You see? So what is this addition? Come to Krishna and become Krishna. It's bogus. Completely bogus. So, no, we are not a sect that we are blindly following our sect leader, no. We are lovers of truth. And wherever we find the truth, that's where we'll go. If the Mormon church had the truth better than we do, we would go, all become Mormons. If the Taliban had a better, more complete version of the absolute truth and Prabhupada, we'd all join Osama bin Laden. You see? We're not sectarian. We're just lovers of truth. That's all. We're here with Prabhupada's shelter because Prabhupada, if you compare all the presentations of transcendental knowledge, there's nobody that comes close to Prabhupada, what he's done. No one comes close. And we can prove it. It's not sectarian. We can prove it. You bring to me your highest level understanding of the absolute truth, and I will show you a higher level. You see? If they say, well, why are you following Swami Prabhupada? But no, say, what is your understanding of the Absolute Truth? And then you show them the defect in their understanding, and you show them a higher understanding. That is our Krishna conscious movement. Yeah.
If someone is comparing the Bhagavad Gita with Srila Prabhupada's tradition, you can ask one question. Are you offering your food to Krishna?
Yeah.
You will see that they don't.
Yeah, they're not offering their food, and they're not even obeying the Bhagavad Gita. Yagyashishtanashashanto muchante serva kilbisha. Krishna says you should only eat the remnants of food which has been offered to me. So it's just hot air, philosophical hot air. These people have no substance philosophically. They're just word jugglers. Egotists. We are humble servants of the truth. Any other question? 3:15 is the cutoff?
Yeah.
Okay, we got 5 minutes more. 6 minutes. Now's your golden opportunity. You had that question in your mind the whole time. Let's see if anybody else. Many of them will give you a chance. But anybody else? Now's your chance. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I read that question there.
Yes? All right.
Could you please tell us about some of your personal experiences in life? Some of
first,
your... answer the first. Let me hear the whole question. Yes?
Some of your personal encounters with God, or maybe...
Personal encounters with what?
With God.
with God. Yes, it's very simple. I'm encountering God right now. And, he's present in your heart, he's present in my heart, he's present in the altar. He's within every atom, he's between every atom, he's in the form of his glorification. Actually, God is emanating from my mouth right now in the form of Bhagavad Gita philosophy. I'm completely absorbed in God, actually, by Prabhupada's mercy. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, I'm this flower-bearing spring, I'm the purifiers, I am the wind, so I'm completely absorbed in God. By the mercy of Prabhupada, he saved me from the life of degradation and taught me how to be fully absorbed in God. Another question?
Maharaj, I was talking with a friend of mine who's actually doing Dhyana Yoga, and when I tell him that Bhakti Yoga is the highest form of yoga, they say that Dhyana Yoga is, all the Bhakti Yoga we're doing is just sentimental. It doesn't have any
substance. So what is his Jnana Yoga practice? What does he do?
Jnana.
Oh, okay.
They said my mother follows Jnana Yoga. She says meditation is you try.
Well, Jnana Yoga means. So your friend lives in a Himalayan cave. When was the last time you saw him?
Last week.
Huh? You were in the Himalayas last week, up in the mountains in the caves.
No.
That is not a jhana yogi, he's pseudo jhana yogi. The real jhana yogi, he has to completely go away from civilization. He can't wear any clothes. He has to become do Naga Baba thing. He can't have a jacket for the winter. He can't have a cell phone. Does he carry a cell phone? No. Tell him, real jhana yogi, he can't have a cell phone. Does he have a job? He can't have a job. Does he have an apartment? He can't have an apartment. Does he have a car? He's not a jhana yogi, he's a cheater. A real jhana yogi will be in the Himalayas with no car, no cell phone, no wife, no contact with his family, completely cut off from any contact with the material world except for once every 7 years come down for Kumbh Mela. And then talk about jhana yogi. You see? Tell him this jhana yoga is bogus, completely bogus. He's not practicing jhana yoga. If you want to practice jhana yoga, then practically practice jhana yoga. And if his Guru Ma, whoever you mentioned, is talking about jhana, she's also bogus. You see, you can tell the master is bogus and the student is bogus. You see, the master is also bogus. The genuine jhana yogi would be completely cut off from the material world in some remote Himalayan cave, just doing his slowing down, merging the incoming into the outgoing breath. And slowing down his metabolism so he can live for hundreds of years to gradually fix his mind on Vishnu within the heart. That is the ultimate goal. So we don't buy his jhana yoga. It's bogus. He's not a jhana yogi. And Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, he was a genuine jhana yogi. Actually, there are Himalayan yogis who came down and joined our movement. One became a brahmachari, Bhukta Stupida. He was a Himalayan yogi, and he came down and joined this guy in the Himalayas. So, Lord Krishna clearly says, Bhagavad Gita 6:47, of all the yogis, the highest is the bhakti yogi. That's stated in chapter 6, text 47. So, our time has run out. We only have about 45 seconds. Any quick question?
45 seconds, you can go down. Because you have a lecture in the temple also.
Come to the Sydney temple tonight. I'll be giving a lecture there. Sunday feast lecture at the Sydney temple. Come tonight. Any questions you didn't get asked now, I've asked them tonight. They're giving another lecture this evening. So now we'll do the wrap up. Thank you all very much. It's been my great honor and pleasure. Manaji also. We are very happy to be here with all of you in this wonderful benediction moon retreat. I'm very indebted to our organizers, to Anant and to Sri Goloka Prabhu for so nicely arranging this festival, this wonderful retreat, and to the Govinda Valley devotees who have so kindly given us a concessionary rate, which they charge the normal groups much higher rates. They give us a deep discount to make it easily affordable to come.
thank His Grace Shankarshan Das Adhikari and Her Grace Vishnupriya Mataji for taking all the pains and to come over and spend time with us. We thank both of you for all your association, guidance, and we found these 2 days to be more informative, and many of them have taken quite a big step in their life, like committing to chant more rounds, listen more, and more Bhagavad Gita we are able to give to people. And we have also seen that people are quite keen to come to temple, and just that they need a bit more of guidance, which of course Maharaj is going to give through this email. Please enroll for the Thought for the Day. Please go to the website and you can start getting daily Thought for the Day. In fact,
is that URL?
Back to home.com. www.backtohome.com. So hopefully I've sent you an email with all the links so you can go through them again. In fact, one of the devotees in Bangladesh, he went to Bangladesh and he had a friend of him, he was a Muslim, and then he was trying to show a printout of something, and then he happened to show the printout of the Thought for the Day. And that Muslim person, he daily used to take a printout and keep it, and first thing he does in the office is to read that. In this remotest places also can be reached through internet, and the message goes there, and people are quite keen to read. So please take this opportunity, and I thank you all so much for coming, and we welcome you for the future retreats as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.